I love our worship team. My name is Ryan King. I'm the worship arts pastor here at River City. So everything that's good that happens up here is because of those guys. Everything that you don't like, I'll take responsibility for that. And I'll tell you to suck it up. So I have the privilege of preaching today. Pastor Kevin and Shelley, they're out of town, getting a little bit of a break, which is good. I realized, my wife and I were talking last night before we went to bed, that Kevin's never here when I preach. And it's got to be one of two reasons. One, he trusts me. Or two, he really doesn't want to be here to hear what I have to say, because he's afraid of what I might say. And we resolved that it's both of those. So, Steve Thomas shared earlier about Family Promise. Family Promise is one of our global partners. And so we give to them regularly. We support them. We believe in the vision and mission of Family Promise. And so this isn't just some guy coming in and sharing with you. This is something that we are 100% behind. Just wanted to throw that out there. Devotional journals, the Devo journals. In case you didn't get one of these on the way in, we have Devo journals for you. On the inside, there's a three-year Bible reading plan. It is one chapter a day, people. One chapter a day. I think you can do it. So I want to encourage you, grab one of these. They are very limited. There's one on each. Well, there's just a few out there, I think. So any guys not get one on the way in? Did you get one? What color do you want?
I don't care. Thank you.
There you go. Giving away free stuff. If you don't get one today, we'll have more hopefully next week. So that's the idea. One chapter a day is all it takes to get through the Bible in 3 years. How many people have ever started one of those one-year Bible plans and then you give up, right? Oh my gosh, I'm 2 weeks behind and that means I got to read 400 chapters a day to catch up. And I'm really familiar with the book of Genesis by now because I've started a one-year plan 8 times. Okay? I have no idea what's at the end. Okay. So, one last thing. Offering envelopes, in case you have been here for a long time and you've got your own number and all that kind of stuff, we're not doing that anymore. So you won't be able to pick up a box with your number on them. We just got new envelopes printed. They will fit your company checks as well. And so what we'll do is actually every single week, these are going to be in the Sunday program, stuffed in there. If you really want to have them at home so you can fill them out before you come to church, grab a handful. We'll just have some sitting out. You can grab a handful. Bring them home. Be great. Yes? Okay. Here we go. Lord, help me. If you've got a Bible this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Just a word of advice. Anytime you're reading the Bible, I'm assuming that you are reading the Bible, taking a look through the Bible. If you ever come across red, okay, it represents Jesus and what Jesus is saying. I would say pay attention to that. That sounds obvious, but honestly, pay attention to what's in red. It's Jesus talking, and Jesus is a smart dude. He is the Son of God, and so he always speaks truth. So I would say pay special attention to that. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. If you've got a Bible, read along with me. If it drives you crazy, because we're in different translations, I believe it's on the screen. So here we go. So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food, drink, and clothes, doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than they are. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? The answer is, of course not. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? You have so little faith. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Pray with me. God, I ask, Lord, right now, God, that you would speak to our hearts. God, I know that every time we come face to face with you, Lord, that there's an opportunity to change or there's an opportunity to ignore your words. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, that we would change. We would hear your words clearly and we would change. Amen. Happy New Year. It's almost 2013. We're still here. I'm glad we're here. This is the time of year that many of us make lists, right? Lists of things that we want to change, lists of things that we want to improve. What do we call that list? New Year's resolutions, right? We make a list, and then we set these goals. But I looked up some statistics on New Year's resolutions. Here's the bad news. According to statistics, only 8% of Americans successfully achieve their New Year's resolutions, which means that 92% don't. See how that works? 92%. That's the bad news. Here's the really bad news. Is that 80% of people who make New Year's resolutions and don't live up to them fail by January 20th. Those are three good weeks, and then it's over, right? So let me ask you this, and many of you may know the answer to this, but what do you think the top 10 list of New Year's resolutions are? Anybody just throw something out? Eating healthy, I heard weight loss. Quit smoking, yeah. Anything else? Exercise, self-improvement. Read the Bible. I don't think that's on there, unfortunately, because this is mass Americans, but yes, that should be ours. Okay, here they are in no particular order. You got several of them. Lose weight, spend more time with family and friends. So fitness, stay fit or get fit. Fall in love. I like that one. Fall in love. Quit smoking. Enjoy life more. Get organized is actually number one. We just got a magazine in the mail the other day, real simple. We get that magazine, and actually the whole magazine is devoted to get organized this year, because it would take most of us an entire year to do it, and a day or two to undo it, right? Is that kind of help others, spend less, save more, or get out of debt, and learn something new and exciting. So for those of you that do New Year's resolutions, I just read your entire list, most likely. Okay, that's the depressing part. So my question to you is, what are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do this year? Because if you're like most people, you're going to make the list, and then by January 20th, I'll try again next year. Okay? Why don't we just save last year's list? It's the bigger question. There's the deal. I'm not saying don't make lists, don't set goals. We can accomplish all sorts of great things. There's a scripture in Philippians 4 that says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, right? A bit familiar with that verse. This last month, we did a series called Perspective. We went through the book of Philippians and we talked about that verse. But here's the deal, is that most of the time we ignore the verse that comes before it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But here's the verse that leads up to. You got to read it in context. Verse 12 says this, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living. Another translation says the secret of being content in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. I can do all things. In context, full stomach, empty stomach, plenty, little. In context, yeesh. I don't want to do all things. is how I feel. But I think the problem is that most of the time we're not content. I can survive every situation, is what this is saying, with content, with peace, with joy in my heart. But by January 20th, it's over. Try again next year. God has an incredible plan and purpose for your life. And the great American lie is that you can do anything. I'm here to tell you that your parents were liars and you can't do anything. You can't. I'm 5'10". I am not going to play in the NBA. I'm white and 5'10", and from Lewiston, Idaho. I am not going to play in the NBA. I can't do anything. I'm tall for basketball, or I'm too short for basketball. I'm too tall to be a jockey, right? So that's the issue. I can't do anything. But let me tell you this, that God has a plan and purpose for your life that nobody else can do. Nobody can fill your shoes. But we get so distracted, so caught up, that we lose sight of the purpose that God has for me. For me. Not for you, for me. What purpose does God have for you? Thank you, Ben, for preaching my message. I love that. We're often far too distracted away from God's purpose, and we choose to sacrifice our peace, our contentment, our joy, and our satisfaction. We trade it in for anxiety, discouragement, confusion, and hopelessness. I was listening to a message by a guy named Craig Rochelle recently, and he was talking about how there's a larger number of Americans today than ever before that struggle with this thing that they're calling, I can't remember the technical or the medical term for it, but they're calling it low-grade depression. Low-grade depression is what they're calling it. It's not necessarily a depression they may give you medication for, but it's low-grade depression. What they're saying is that low-grade depression, 3 months of low-grade depression can oftentimes be more damaging to a person than 3 weeks of terminal medical depression, of debilitating depression. They're saying that 3 months can actually hurt somebody more in the long run, because what happens is our soul gives up. All we see is January 20th. That's it. It's over. I give up. I'll try again later. We trade in our joy, our satisfaction, for discouragement, despair, hopelessness. And God's got a plan for you, but see, I think this is one of our problems, is that most of the time we don't stop and ask God, what is that plan? Right? What is it? Well, I've got a plan for me. It's like every American's plan. Make millions of dollars, live in a big house. But God's got a plan for you. We assume we know the answer. We assume we can figure the answer out. God gave you a brain, right? And you can use that brain to make decisions like, what am I going to have for breakfast and all these kinds of things. And you could bother to ask God. And, I'm not saying he doesn't care, but he might not. I mean, oatmeal or bacon, he's definitely going to choose bacon. I mean, that's just how it goes. But I think, it is kosher. Kosher bacon. But I think we choose the plan all too often. I think what happens is we end up 10 miles down a 20-mile road, and God's going, yo, I wanted you to go the other way. And then we shout, God, why aren't you blessing me? God, why isn't this all working out the way I planned? And he's going, because it wasn't the way I planned. See, here's the best part about all of this, is that there's a scripture, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he is right there with me. Here's the thing, is you can choose to destroy your life and God will be standing right beside you waiting for you to run back to his arms. That is the best part. You can't ditch him, right? Like a juke in Jesus is kind of, you can't do it. But I think oftentimes we look at our situations and go, God, you know, I analyzed this and I sought counsel and I did all these things and this seemed like the smartest plan. So I'm going down this road. And God's going, I didn't ask you to play it safe. You could have asked me. Just like every great sermon, this passage in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus does this to us. You know, says, many of you may have heard this and said, don't be anxious about anything, right? And what you wear, what you eat, where you sleep, all these kinds of things. Here's the thing, is that the problems of today are no different than the problems back then. And I hear all too often, oh my gosh, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Oh my gosh, it's so terrible. Oh, you know what? I didn't live in the 60s, but I've read about the 60s. And those didn't sound like real moral times either. So here's the thing, is that Jesus' words were relevant back then and they're relevant today. We get so distracted, so caught up. But just like any good sermon, this is what Jesus does, is he gives you the problem and then the solution's at the very end of that passage, right? The problem. Worry, 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 anxious, anxious. Do you know that worry is actually a sin? I think it's the number one sin of Christians. And we hide it and package it and we look at, I'm just seeking counsel. I'm just gonna see what other people say. I'm just praying, brother. No, you're worried and that's a sin. It's not trusting God. We package it and hide it, but it's actually a sin. I won't go there. That's not what this is about. But Jesus gives you the tension and then the answer. The answer to our problems is so simple. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put Jesus center. He didn't say, hey, you know what? Just bring me along for the ride. You and I, buddy, we're going places. He said, put me in the middle. Everything else will be added on top. And you're going, dude, I've heard this stuff before. It's true, but why do we always go backwards? You've probably heard this before. You know it. But we always go backwards. See, God made us for one specific reason, for relationship with him. He made us for his pleasure. He didn't need us. He wasn't lonely. He created us for his pleasure. You are God's pleasure. Nobody can replace you. You are God's pleasure. He finds great delight in you. That is it. If you do nothing else but delight in Jesus, that is enough. Now, we get to do all sorts of other great things, of course. But that's it. It boils down to that. And if you don't believe me, look at Revelation 4:11 or Isaiah 43:7 or Colossians 1:16, okay? Scripture, read it. It's good. But oftentimes we have our eyes set on our kingdom, our needs, our wants, our, my, me. And we get distracted. God, why aren't you fixing this? And he's like, buddy, hold up. Let's go back 10 miles. Remember that fork in the road? Let's go the other way. That's where I wanted you to go. But here's the problem. We make things so complicated. The writer of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says this. This is all that I've learned. God made us plain and simple, but we have made ourselves very complicated. Another translation says this. God made human beings straightforward, one purpose for his pleasure, but they search for many complications. He longs to be at the center, his pleasure. But we make things so stinking hard. Richard Foster, he wrote the book, Celebration of Discipline. He says this, man has fallen from the state in which God created him, and through cleverness has brought about his own undoing. The irresolvable antinomies of life have made their focal point in the fact that man is at variance with himself. It's our fault. God made us for one reason, and we love to mess it up and make it so much more difficult. See, the secret to life is to seek first the kingdom of God. The secret of success is to seek first the kingdom of God. The secret to contentment and satisfaction is to seek first the kingdom of God. The secret to peace is to seek first the kingdom. The secret of joy is to seek first the kingdom of God. Not my kingdom, his kingdom. To seek relationship with Jesus. It's so simple. When we seek first the kingdom of God, when we seek relationship with Jesus, we discover we can look at crisis from a different perspective. We can face the desert with hope instead of despair. We can be confident during the darkest part of the night that Jesus is right by our side. I have walked through times in my life that, man, it felt like I was in a valley so deep that I was inches from the pit of hell. That's how I felt. But what's amazing is in those times, you know, of course we cry out in despair because we're humans and we love to, you know, cry out to God when we're in crisis, of course. And I cry out to God and I notice, wait a minute, He's right here. He's never left my side. All along the way, there's been two sets of footprints. He's there with me in the darkest times. When I was making the large decision after high school of what am I going to do with my life, right? And some of you may be in this position right now. What am I going to do? And so what I did was I looked at my particular skills and I thought, well, let's figure out which direction is going to make me the most money, right? Of course, it's all for the kingdom, right? I mean, that's exactly how I was feeling at 18 years old. And so I looked at my skill set and I thought, you know, I'm going into engineering. It's a very versatile field. It's always in demand. And so I enrolled and I started mechanical engineering. I have 2 years of mechanical engineering school done. 2 years. How many years does a typical four-year degree take? Four and a half, five, I don't know. But I had 2 years finished. And then I had been in school for so long, and I'm one of those, here's one of my biggest issues. I find a gap in my schedule, and I plug it with something else. Okay, so I hear high school students, oh, I'm taking a 0 hour this year. I'm like, I took a 0 hour for 4 years. Okay, and then here was my issue. My senior year of high school, I only needed one class to graduate. One. So how many did I take? Well, I took a 0 hour plus my regular, is it six there? Then I added a seventh hour just to round it all out to 8 even hours of school. Okay, I have issues is what I will tell you. So I'd been in school for a long time, went to 2 years of mechanical engineering school. I decided, you know what? I need a year off. My brain's about to short circuit. And so I went to England for a year, had this great opportunity to intern at a church. And while I was there, God messed with me. And so I come back and I go talk to my parents. I go, Mom, Dad, I don't think I'm supposed to go into mechanical engineering. They're like, oh, really, son? What do you think you're supposed to do? I said, I think I'm supposed to go into music education. Okay, now that's like, we're talking pendulum here, you know, one into the other. And they go, I know. So then I go talk to my youth pastors, Kevin and Shelley Beeson. I figure, well, they'd be more sympathetic or something with me and try to talk me out of it. And so I say, Kevin and Shelley, I don't think I'm supposed to go to engineering school. I think I'm supposed to go to music ed. And what do they say? I know. So I'm telling God, yo, I wasted 2 years. Why didn't you tell me? You know what he says to me? I tried to tell you, but you weren't listening. See, here's the deal, is that engineering, just like music, you gotta start from the beginning. There's some classes that are 7 semesters long. Okay, so I had to start over, because you can't double that class up one semester. So I had to start over. Do you hear me? To start over. From the beginning, I had to start over. And I could have been so frustrated with God. Now, I know he was with me all along, never left my side. But here's the deal. I never listened. I never asked. It's so simple, yet we miss it so many times. I think oftentimes God is just standing there, walking with us, going, hey, you're going the wrong way. Don't really want you doing this. You're going the wrong way. We need to stop, we need to ask, and we need to listen. Stop, ask, listen. And here's what's so great when we ask. Matthew chapter 7, more of red letters, more of Jesus talking, says this, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. That is good news. That is such good news. God's got a purpose and a plan for you. And here's my opinion. I'm not saying this is biblical, but here's my opinion. God's got a plan specifically for you. And you may be sitting here going, man, I've missed it for this many years. Now, you may have missed opportunities, but I don't think you've missed the purpose. I think God can always pick you up, set you back on the purpose, and take you a little further. That's my opinion. I don't think, you know, you may have missed opportunities to talk to somebody. You may have missed opportunities with specific jobs. You may have missed opportunities to go on the mission field. But the bonus is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's got a purpose and a plan for you, and he's not giving up. And he's not going to go, pfft, sucker. Okay? He's not done. You can pick up and you can keep going, and that's the bonus. Throughout the month of January, we're going to have a great opportunity here. Throughout the month of January, Kevin's going to talk to you more about this in the next couple weeks, but starting January 11th, we're going to encourage the people of River City to do a 21-day fast. The weight of that just sink upon you right now. This doesn't mean that you just have to give up food, okay? It could be anything. And this is what I would encourage you to do. Begin asking now. Begin praying now. Begin asking and listening, God, what do you want me to give up for 21 days? Here's the idea behind a fast is that if you give something up, let's take food, you eat 3 meals a day, I don't know, 8 or 10 snacks a day, and then maybe dessert at the end of the day, right? So there's a lot of time that you've just gathered back into your life, right? And so then what you do is instead of filling it with something else, you fill it with prayer. Okay, you fill it with spending time with God. I want to encourage you right now, start making lists, prayer lists. I think that's okay. But here's the deal. Throughout that 21 days, don't just talk. Stop and listen. Stop, ask, and listen. Okay? It's so simple. Begin asking God now what he wants you to give up. There's going to be some great opportunities. We're going to have prayer and worship here, corporate prayer and worship here, Tuesdays and Thursday nights. I think that starts the 15th. 15th, 17th, 22nd, 24th, and then I think the 29th, all here. There's a thing in your program today. I think I got those dates right. Begin asking God. It's going to be great to spend time with other people. But last week, Kevin used an illustration of a weight bench. If you guys remember that, if you're here in the first service, it was really funny watching him get off that bench. But a weight bench, and oftentimes the bar on a typical weight bench is 45 pounds. And many of us are just sitting there going, yeah, pumping the 45 pounds. Look how awesome I am. Haven't gotten buried once, yo. I can lift this all day long. And so the issue is that God wants to put more weight on your bar. But let me take this a step further. I think oftentimes we could pack on the weight. And God's saying, I didn't ask you to lift that. That's not for me. Give that up. Give it up. I remember in high school, in a weightlifting class, one of my buddies, he was supposed to be being spotted by a friend. He said, no, I'm good. It's like, you know, the dumb line before a fall. Yeah, I'm good, man. This is going to be awesome. And he pulls it off the bar and boom, broke his sternum. It was the loudest, grossest pop I've ever heard. That's what happens when we lift a weight that we're not intended to lift. But see, here's the deal, is that God may be going, here, give me those little plates there, and I'm going to give you this stack. And you're going, that's impossible. I can't lift that. But remember, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. If it's his will, he's going to help you do it. I'm preaching. Come on. I don't do this very often. There's people freaking me out. All right. So here's my question to you. My question is not this morning, what is holding you back? My question this morning is, what are you holding back? What? What are you not allowing God to be a part of? What are you not allowing God to be the center of? What are you saying, no, 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 that's my burden, that's my weight. You can't touch that. Okay. See, nothing is sacred except for God. All things should be on the table here. So here's my question. What are you holding back? Are you holding back your sin, your money, your success, your failure, your future, your past? Your job, your possessions, your education, your family, your health, your time, your schedule, your relationships. What are you holding back? What is it? I'm going to ask God to reveal to you what you're holding back. See, here's the great human misconception is that, you know, and this is something that we get caught up in as human beings, but we were never in control in the first place. We can create our 401ks, and we can, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but my financial advisor's here, so we can create our safe environment, all this kind of stuff, but you know what? We have no control over the earthquakes. We have no control over the stock market. We have no control over natural disasters. We have none. But what we can do is we can place ourselves in the center of God's will, and then any storm that comes at you, the waves will break. Any darkness, there's still light. There's still hope when you're walking in the center of God's will. It's never too late. So do this. Would you close your eyes for just a moment? We're just going to wait here for like a minute. And ask God this, what have I not surrendered to you? And God, I ask that you would be nice this morning, not give people a list of 200 things that they haven't surrendered. But God, I ask for one right now. God, one thing that we haven't surrendered to you. One thing that we have made things so complicated. God, help us put you back in the center of that situation and release it to you. If any of this has resounded in your heart this morning, would you just repeat after me? We're just going to pray. God, I need you. I'm really no good on my own. I know I need to ask for your help. I know I need to stop and listen. Help me hear your voice clearly. I want you in the center of my everyday life. I surrender my heart. I surrender my mind. And I surrender my will to you. Amen. Hey, if you are sitting here today going, man, I need that peace that he's talking about, would you come talk to me? Jesus can bring peace in the middle of all sorts of chaos. Would the prayer team come forward? We've got people that would love to pray for any and every need that you've got this morning. They'll be right down here in the front, ready to pray for you. Do me a favor, write down those dates in January. We want as many people here as possible praying and worshiping together. Have a great day. Thank you so much for coming.